listening to Book Nuts. Hello and welcome to episode number 14 of the Pod Nuts podcast. And if you know me, you know how hard that is to get out. And that's kind of an inside story for Jonathan and Dor to say, oh, yeah, I don't know why Tracy has a problem. But, yeah, this is the podcast where we talk about books. And we do listen to audiobooks forms. And, again, if you've never got into audiobooks, they're great, especially if you commute of any length of time. They're always good to have on hand. So they're just, yeah, enough said about that.
And they're really better than TV, too.
Hands down. That's not even close. Not even close. And you heard that voice out there? No, that wasn't an alter ego of mine. It is actually one of the people I like to say is my friend. The one, the only, and that's for a good reason. We only have one of them, is Mr. Jonathan Nadeau.
Hello, Tracy, and I'm honored to be called your friend.
Oh, thank you, thank you, thank you. Well, the chicks are being born. I had 35 in the incubator and 5 are out and about, and about 4 or 5 more I can see cracking through. So
nice.
So we'll have a bunch of chickens running around here. So these were from my chickens. They were fertilized from the chickens I do have. So yeah. And these, the variety is called Black Australorps. Good chicken type.
Australorps, that's what it was. Australorps. I was like, because earlier, like when we were voxing, you sent the picture, and I forgot to tell my wife that they had, you know, black feathers. So when she looked at the picture, she was like, ah, you know, she's like, the chicken's black. Like, she'd never seen one before. So she was like, is it okay? It's like, oh no, yeah, that's the kind of chicken it is. They have black feathers. She was like, oh, okay.
Yeah. Matter of fact, tell her to go to Google Images and look at some. When they're in the sun after when they're fully grown and they get, I should say, their adult feathers, the sun shines on the side and it's actually a green kind of teal color on the side of their outer wing, which is pretty cool. Good dual purpose birds. They're large. They produce a lot of eggs, or right up there with Rhode Island Reds and all that. Cold tolerant like them, but they're more heat tolerant, which is nice. And they're larger. Which makes them good dual-purpose birds in case you want some meat. So that's why I'm raising some of these. Pretty much all the roosters I get, well, we know what they'll become.
Chicken Parmesan.
And there you go. And the hens will be some for me for laying, and I will sell some of the hens too, because I know some people are already asking, they want some laying hens. So.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, so that's what that's for there. Enough of that. Anything new around your place?
Nothing terribly exciting, which honestly can be good. So
now that the sickness is all the way through, and probably I shouldn't have said anything. Somebody's going to come home sniffling tonight, and you're going to be like, "Oh, 2 weeks of sickness coming up."
Well, we're supposed to. I was thinking we made it through the winter, like kind of unscathed, but we're supposed to have this like really bad nor'easter, like on Sunday. We're supposed to get like a foot of snow. So hopefully we miss that somehow.
Yeah, we just had the last couple of days some pretty big storms come through. My UPS driver, and living in the country, Amazon is great because I don't have to run into the store.
Right, exactly.
So when I got Amazon Prime, so I didn't pay for shipping. So I know the UPS guy real well. And the storms we had come through yesterday, he lost his garage. He came home and his garage was down.
Yowza.
Yes. Man. Yeah, he sent it to his insurance, a picture of his insurance, and the insurance guy says, yeah, we'll send a claims person out, but obviously that's a loss. We can't fix that.
Man.
So there was some strong winds coming through too, but everything around me was kind of unscathed for the most part.
That's good.
Good. Well, let's get on to the book here so people can say, quit, just be quiet, start with the book. So we will do that. This book here was recommended for us too. And to be honest, I've heard of it, I'm going to be straight up honest. I wouldn't have read this unless somebody said, you have to read this book. I think you'll enjoy it, basically. So I said, okay, but this is The Count of Monte Cristo by French author Alexandre Dumas. And he's also wrote, he's probably most known for writing The Three Musketeers. And I have actually read The Three Musketeers before. And to me, that was okay. Out of, I guess I shouldn't say all his works, both his works I've read of his, this by far is better.
Yeah, if you've, I, I've never read Three Musketeers, but I was definitely a fan of this book for sure.
Yeah, if you haven't read Count of Monte Cristo, I'm going to give my score straight up right now. I'm going to give it a 9. You have to remember there's a different writing style between now and then, but for somebody that written a book in 1844 when this came out, it has a lot of the way modern people write a book compared to what other people did.
Yeah, he actually, obviously there, I don't want to say there's a language barrier, but like you said, there's just a different style of writing. But I'm not sure if this would be the right word to use, but he wrote a lot of sort of technical things going on, like not technical in the sense of like technology, but the way he worked out scenarios in the book, it's like, wow, that was really well thought out.
Exactly, yeah. And it's basically high level book. This book is about a person by the name of Edmond Dantes, and the way they describe him on Wikipedia, a dashing young sailor. I don't know about that, but basically he is a sailor and he works for a really good shipping company that where the shipping company takes care of their people, honest. The owner is really good, really honest, and their captain died, and he has one. His dad, the captain, was dying on the ship, and basically said Edmund was basically the first mate, and said, "Hey, I got one last thing. Just deliver this package. I know I'm going to die. I'm going to stop on this island. Okay, here, take this envelope. Bring it to this person in Paris. When you get back, and good to go." So he gets back, and the owner tells the owner everything. Okay. And he says, "Edmund, you are now going to be the captain of the ship." And he was like, "Ooh, cool." And he was only like 19 years old. So he was pretty young. And so a lot of trust. And that kind of pushed everything up where his girlfriend, Mercedes, that they were going to push up their marriage. So I don't want to get in too many spoilers, but basically, right after that's when everything goes downhill for him.
Yeah, because one of his shipmates, I mean, or maybe two of them, they kind of get jealous because, he's young and he's now been appointed captain essentially. And so some of his shipmates go to kind of the owner and they're like, "Well, I don't know. Edmund was kind of, he was doing this kind of sneaky thing. He got this letter and did he tell you about it?" And the owner's like, "No, he didn't tell me about it." So they're trying to kind of, catch him into this thing, making it look like he's doing something nefarious. And so they're trying to kind of give his name give his name a black eye in a sense.
Yeah, and he wasn't trying to do anything deceiving with the letter. It was just the last wish of the captain, the boss, which you always did the last wish of the person that was dying. So he was like, "Hey, I'm just delivering a letter. That's all I'm doing." So, and really don't have to tell anybody I'm doing that because it was his last wish and you didn't need to know. So that was basically it. And basically, some people get him thrown in prison.
Yeah,
Okay, this is a.
they falsely accuse him of some stuff.
Correct. Yeah, I'm only going to give a high level view right here. He gets thrown in prison. Well, after about a time, I'm not going to say what if he's out of prison. I'm not going to say how or what. And he basically takes his revenge in a slow, calculating way on everybody that deceived him and got him thrown into prison and helps everybody out that kind of stuck by him during that time too. So that's a basically high level view of the book anymore, and I think we might be getting into some spoilers.
Because
Is there any?
it's not a long book. It was pretty short. So,
Yeah,
and it
for me,
compared to what we normally read.
I think regular time this book is about 10, 11 hours for time wise, so we get a little faster. So this is one you could knock out over the weekend or 1 week driving to work, probably for a lot of people. So that's basically it. Anything else on the high level view?
No, I think that's pretty good.
Okay, cool. We're gonna go in the spoiler section here, but before we go into that, make sure everybody goes to podnuts.com/Amazon. Help support the Podnuts Network, help Mr. Door to Door geek out a little bit there. If you have any questions, comments, concerns about this podcast, just email Tracy at podnuts.com. If you want to go to Jonathan, just send it to me and say, throw this over to Jonathan, and I'll forward it right over to Jonathan so he can take care of it from there.
And if you have any criticisms or hate mail, just send those to the door.
Exactly. So all criticism, all concern goes to Steven at podnos.com. And if you don't like the way we reviewed something, send it to him also. If you do not like me saying or oz, send that to Steven also. If you don't like how we reviewed a book, send that to Steven also. If you didn't like what you had for breakfast, send that to Steven also right
And
now.
if you don't like the fact that I'm blind, send that to Steven also.
Exactly. If Steve would have been paying attention the day Jonathan got in his accident, Jonathan wouldn't be blind right now.
Yep, that's
Steven
right.
could have went up to Jonathan and said, "Hey, get out of that car right now." And but did Dor do that? He didn't. So I'm actually blaming your blindness on Dor right here and now. So.
Oh man. Do I hope you listen to all these episodes?
Exactly. Well, he says he does listen to every one of our episodes, so which is probably a good thing because yeah. Sometimes you can cut some stuff out, like, really? They said that? Cut.
Yeah,
But
exactly. This won't even be on the
yeah. And one thing I'll say about Dor, the more you dog him and the more you talk about him, actually the more he leaves it in. So, yeah, okay. So we are going to get on to the spoiler section right now.
Here we go.
Spoiler, spoiler, spoiler. All right. So basically, we're kind of up to the book. He's in prison. He actually found, he started here after he's been in for a long time, for a year or so, probably about a year. He starts to hear a voice behind the wall and he's like, huh? And he finds out this old guy in the cell next to him has been tunneling for a long time, but he tunneled the wrong way and tunneled into his cell instead of outside. So it's like, boy, see, that's something I would do. Only I personally, I'd like tunnel right into the warden's office or something, like, I'm
Yeah,
free.
exactly.
Oh. So basically, the guy was that was thrown in there was actually a high level guy for, was it Italy? Yeah, in Italy. Was
Yes,
it Italy? Yeah,
I believe it was,
somewhere in
yeah.
Italy. He was a high-level guy for one of the people in Italy, and where he kept on telling people, "You let me out." They threw him, and both of them were down in this like dungeon area for the people that were quote quote not sane.
Yeah,
The
yeah.
other guy was in there because he kept on telling people, "You get me out of here, I'll get you millions in gold." Like, yeah, right. He was thrown in there because he was so mad, Edmund. That he picked a fight with like one of the head guards, and there's
Yeah, the
like,
jailers, yeah.
nope, you're down there until we see fit. And he was just stayed down there. So he was basically by himself. So basically, this other guy tunneled in, the older guy, and so they could go back and forth from cell to cell and find out this other guy was very well educated.
Yeah.
So well educated, he actually was writing stuff down on books to keep himself sane, which probably kept him sane. So Edmund was like, man, I can learn a lot from this guy. So basically, Edmund says, I want you to teach me everything you know while I'm here. And the guy's like, yeah, okay, I'll do that. So probably for a couple years, I'm guessing. Don't you think that's about right when he's
It was,
going
oh
back and
yeah,
forth
it
there?
was definitely quite a few years, and this guy was, really well educated. He was even like fashioning sort of like his own tools and like his own ink and stuff. Like he came up with his own calendaring system to kind of keep track of time. It was crazy.
Yeah, so after a couple years and he's got all this thing, it came to the point where he needed to get out. But the other guy was getting more and more sick and sick and sick and knew, hey, he is gonna die quickly. And so Edmund's like, well, let's go right now. And he's the other guy's like, no, that's not my time. I'm gonna die. You go. Don't feel bad. Remember, go to Monte Cristo, go to this and this place here. The gold is buried there. And all of this time, Edmund's like, are you serious? There is gold. And he's like, well, of course I'm trying to tell you. I've been telling you that for years now. Go to that place and you'll get some gold. So now Edmund had to find a way to get in and out because the way they were thinking, well, the guy dies. So he has a store. He has an idea that they came in, checked him. Yep, he's dead. They checked him. They came in, put him in a bag and wrapped him up. Well, then they left. Well, then he went in, put the old guy's body in the little tunnel they had between the cells,
Yeah.
and he wrapped himself up. And he was like, okay, I hope they don't kick me again or something like that. So they basically took him out and they were talking, the couple of the guards, and they basically threw him out into the ocean.
Exactly.
Kind of like the fish and the sharks will take care of him. Boom, throw him out. So he basically gets loose, starts swimming away from this little island jail they're on, and he's actually picked up by
some fishermen.
But the fishermen aren't just fishermen, okay? They're kind of scavengers and kind of skirt around the law a little bit too.
Yeah, not quite pirates, but pirate-ish.
Yeah. So basically, he gets them to go to the island of Monte Cristo. And so when he's there, he's like, I think I found where the gold's at, but they're coming back. They're going to know about all this, and I don't want them. They'll probably just kill me, you know? And so he fakes an injury and says, hey, you guys go. You do what you have to do. Sell your stuff, whatever you have to do. Come back for me in a week or two. I'll be fine. And they're like, oh, they don't want to. They finally said, okay. So they go, he does, and he finds all the gold, all everything they had. And there were millions and millions back then, which would, I'd be the equivalent to, he'd probably be like a Mark Cuban, a billionaire today.
Yeah, that it was much, like, it was, yeah, money. Yeah, it was like hundreds of millions at least. It was like diamonds and jewels and, you know, gold and just everything of any value. It was all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, so it was a lot of money. So basically, he gets money, he gets back. And he starts to track down everything that was going on. And we're not going to get too into the step for step, but he basically finds out, okay, he finds out who had him falsely accused. And one of them that had him falsely accused actually went on to marry his girlfriend, Mercedes.
Yeah.
So he starts a plot to get back at everybody. And he starts off by going to Rome and Italy to Mercedes and the guy that crossed him's son, because, you know, 18, 20 years have passed by this time, a long time. So the guy's a young adult now, this kid. So he basically saves the kid's life in Italy through somebody he already knows, kind of, you know. So, and he's playing this big, he's playing a count from Monte Cristo. And everybody knows he has money and this and that. So basically the kid says, thank you for saving my life. You have to come back to Paris. You can stay with us, whatever you want. You know, come on back, come on back. So he says, okay, I'll be there such and such time. And I'll let you continue a little bit here.
Yeah, so he gets back to Paris, and it kind of at first you don't really know what's going on, but as the story unfolds, everyone that sort of set him up in the, you know, to go to jail where he was falsely accused, they all still sort of know each other. So, and they've all kind of became successful people except for one of the person, but they all kind of came, you know, somewhat successful in their lives. And so he ends up finding everyone, and he just methodically comes up with these plans to just take the people down, and you know, so when he gets into Paris, he finds like this expensive home and he buys it, and I'm not gonna remember all the details, but he discovers like just this detailed stuff about this home where he turns that details on one of the people that had turned him into jail. And I'm messing this part up, but he just methodically takes everyone down slowly but surely, in just a such calculated ways, instead of, you know, just going crazy. And he really kind of he uses the money to his advantage for sure too. Like he uses his money in a very particular way where, you know, I mean, he could easily just kind of like go out and like pay someone to kill these people or whatever, but he wants it kind of done in a very certain way, and he wants it done like with his own hands in a sense. And but he doesn't like actually go out and kill them, but like one guy is really financially well, and he basically has all of his money in the stock market, and he finds a way to get this guy to kind of take his advice and listen to him, and he invests all of his money into these really bad stocks, and he loses all of his money. And then so the guy's like destitute now and has no money, and you know, maybe Trace, you could take this over because I feel like I'm not doing it well.
Yeah, it's hard, but basically he just doesn't want these people to be done. He wants them discredited first.
Yeah, exactly.
You got to remember, this is the time when your public image is everything.
Yes.
It's probably even more than money. So, and matter of fact, his old boss is going on hard times. He even saves his old boss's company by getting him a new ship, paying stuff off for him, and getting him back going again.
Yeah.
So he's taking care of everybody that's taking care of him, but he wants to discredit everybody. And he just doesn't want to discredit them. He wants them to discredit themselves. I think that's a good way of saying it. How he manipulates everything where everybody discredits themselves. And basically, the only two people left standing at the end besides him and his friends is Mercedes.
Yeah.
Who he doesn't take back. He's kind of like, nope, you had your chance. You go live your life.
Right. He was upset that she didn't wait for him.
Right. And his and her son. Basically, is basically it. They're basically it, all that's left. And he actually, at the end, gives pretty much all his money away to
his boss's son.
His son and his girlfriend.
Yes.
Who is related to somebody else that was trying to get to him. So I'm sure he kept a little bit just to live here and there on, you know, but pretty much everything was to them because both of them were raised with money and both of them are broke now. So I think he knows, okay, they'll know how to live now. So they go to Monte Cristo and basically he fakes her death to save her life, and she goes to live in Monte Cristo.
Exactly.
He wants to kill himself because she died. So he says, if you trust me, just wait till we get to Monte Cristo and wait a week. And if you want to kill yourself, I'll even give you my gun to kill yourself, you know, out of honor.
Yeah, he was like, give me until noon on this day. And then if you haven't changed your mind yet, you know, then I'll give you my gun and you can kill yourself.
Right. So gets there, says, okay, yep, he faked my death here and there. And he kind of walks off. Here's the money and the book's over.
and the way he took down his, you know, his fiance's husband, who, she, you know, she ended up marrying one of the guys that got him falsely accused. It was like this part of the story was crazy, too, where his fiance's husband was in the military and he was like some sort of like a general or captain. He was pretty high up in the military. Well, it turns out he like killed like some innocent people, but he kind of swept it under the rug so no one would find out. Well, the County of Monte Cristo found the daughter of the people that were innocently killed, and he hired her as, she wasn't like a maid, but she was just kind of like, I don't know what you would really call her. He just had her come along as like, he was like just helping her out basically. Like, she wasn't like an intern, but he wasn't like dating her or anything, and just kind of found her and was, you know, helping her out in a sense. But he knew who she was. And so at the end of the book, he basically found a way to bring up the story of, the, you know, this general killing her parents. And so they had this whole, like, courtroom, you know, and they're trying to, you know, decide what was he guilty of these, you know, war crimes, basically. And all of a sudden, the girl comes in out of nowhere that was, you know, with the Count of Monte Cristo, and she basically points out the general saying, like, yeah, this guy killed my parents, and boom, he's found guilty, he's thrown into jail, you know, his life falls apart, you know, now his ex-fiance doesn't have a husband anymore because he's getting thrown in jail, and it was crazy.
Exactly. So we are not doing this book justice. This book starts off setting up just for a little tiny bit, and then it's pretty much action until the end.
Yeah, I mean, like a quarter of the book or so is setting it up, maybe even a little bit more. But once he gets out of jail, there's like so many details going on. Like I'd have to read it three or four more times. Like there's so many little minute details where you're like, oh, I see how he did that. Like I said at the beginning, it's a very like technical book in a sense. Like it was very executed very proficiently.
Exactly. This is one you can really tell he had a big outline written out before he wrote the book.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. Absolutely.
So yeah. So I'm giving this one a 9. How about you?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Again, considering it was written, you know, hundreds of years ago, like if someone were to kind of rewrite it, you would think it's a modern day, like rewrite it with a like typical writing of these days, you would just think it's a modern day story. It was really well, really ahead of its time, probably.
Yeah, we're coming up on 200 years here in probably about 6, 7 years. So it is a couple hundred years old. Now I know why when he told us to read this, he says he reads us one every now and then. And I understand why, because there's a lot of detail. And it's a good book. This is one everybody needs to go. And it's out there in public domain, in audiobook format. It's in public domain. In PDF format, you probably got to buy a book if you wanted the physical print, but this is one you could get where you don't have to pay for again. So good. All right. Any last thing before we continue on?
I think that's it.
Okay. Now, the next book we are going to review is Steelheart by Brandon Sanderson. Not going to get into it, but that is a quote superhero style book. So that's the next one we are gonna talk about. So, and again, I want to thank everybody for listening to this. Don't forget to go to podness.com/Amazon if you want to purchase anything to help Door to Door Geek out with these all the costs of all these shows here and everything like that. Any questions, comments, concerns, or you want to join us in a show, just email Tracy at podness.com. And that's it. Any last word?
No, that's it.
Okay, everybody, have a good day, good week, and thanks for downloading.
See ya.